You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning. This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative. It's a great day. It's a beautiful morning. It's the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be glad in it. The Chicago Cubs are in first place. How could he say that all in one sentence? I know. I'm just so excited about the Cubs being back in first place. Our engineer Brian back there isn't so happy, I'm sure. Oh, okay. We'll see what happens. Good morning, everyone. I have a guest here this morning that I'm really excited about. Deacon Richardson, in fact, Chris, is listening, I'm sure. I told him last night that I was going to have you on the show.
Okay.
And he was very excited to hear that I was. So how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. I hope, Deacon Richardson, you listen. I hope you're doing well. I love you, brother. For all the Sox fans out there, I do apologize for our host here today. It's not his fault. He doesn't know. It's okay. You know, he doesn't know. It's okay. But I'm doing very well. Thank you.
And had I told you that yesterday that I was an avid Cub fan, you probably wouldn't have come on the show.
Huh? No, I would have come. I love getting in the thick of things. I used to play linebacker. I love butting heads with anybody that wants to get in the way.
Okay, well, I'm not going to get in your way because you're much bigger than I am. Okay, so today's guest, as we've just gotten off the track totally, is Christopher Mellett. And he is the executive director of the Chicago, what is it, Violence Reduction Strategy?
Yes, sir.
And you have an extensive background, Chris. I'm just so impressed with it. And I'm sure everybody who would look at your resume and your body of work would say, wow, this guy has done a lot. He's been doing a lot of work in Chicago in particular. So what does the violence reduction strategy mean?
So we seek to, we're part of the National Network for Safe Communities, which is a national initiative based at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York. We've been in Chicago for about 10 years doing this. When I was in Mayor Daley's office, I was on his cabinet as the Director of Community Safety Initiatives. And this was actually one of the items that was in my portfolio at the time. We brought it in and started working with it. But it seeks to reduce group violence. So whether you call it gangs, groups, cliques, blocks, squads, factions, but it's the dynamic and the psychology of group violence. I think there's a surgical way to get after that, which might be a little bit different than domestic violence and some other things, random violence, robberies, those types of things. But what's connected to groups and what's connected to group violence is what we try to reduce. So specifically, in a nutshell, to reduce gang shootings and homicides in Chicago. We've been at it for about 10 years.
And that's a long time.
It is.
So how is that strategy working?
I think it's working well. I mean, it's what I remind people is that we didn't get here overnight. And unless Jesus comes back in the morning, you know, it ain't going to end overnight. It's not going to end in the morning. So let's roll up our sleeves and let's get to work as a city and as a country and really kind of tackle the hard issues. Let's be honest about what we're facing. Let's devote appropriate and adequate resources to what we're trying to overcome and just keep fighting and get after it.
You know, getting after it is one thing, but putting something like this together, it takes a lot of people, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of organizations. So tell us how you do that.
So what we do is we have three pillars of partnership in our strategy. So well, first pillar, we have law enforcement. That's the county, the state, the federal agencies, all the alphabet soup folks, and their role. The second pillar is community, what we call community moral voice. We attest that the community has always had a moral voice. It still exists. In some places, it's been silenced for some good reasons, for some bad reasons, for some historical reasons. But that community moral voice is there. So how do we wake that voice up? How do we give it, how do we amplify it, if you will? So the community moral voice are our partners like schools, hospitals, just regular community residents. I call the Kool-Aid mom, which is the one house, I don't care what block you're on, there's one house where the guys don't step on the grass. They leave the flowers alone. You know, who's that person? I want to know that person because that's somebody that, you know, is instrumental. That's a subject matter expert at reducing violence, in my opinion, that we're not always tapping into. And then the last one is outreach and support. So that's the third pillar of partnership that we have in our strategy. And I try to make a point that this is a strategy. It's not a program. It's not an initiative. Our goal is to come alongside law enforcement, come alongside community, come alongside social service agencies that are the true experts in this, especially those that are from Chicago. They know this. They've lived this. They've been through this, different iterations of this over their lifetime. You know, so those, how do we honor those people? How do we give those folks dignity? How do we give those folks a voice? And how do we give them a prominent place in the partnership itself?
It sounds like a very all-encompassing strategy, if you will, and I wouldn't know how to start that, Chris. So how did you get this thing started?
Well, it started at Mayor Daley. When I was in Mayor Daley's office, I sat on his cabinet for his last four years in office, and it was something that, you know, a lot of things come to your attention. You know, I was a director of community safety initiatives, so I was a liaison for the city for youth violence, juvenile justice, gangs, guns, and ex-offender reentry. With one city vehicle that I put 90,000 miles on, very proud. I think it was 93,000 miles in 3.5 years.
Wow.
Driving through the neighborhoods. But it was important to me, you know, to see it, smell it, taste it, feel it, know what people are talking about, know what the different neighborhoods are. So I'm not just looking at a map. I'm not just making decisions based upon an article that I read or something I saw in the news or what someone told me third hand. But I actually sit down with the folks and talk with the folks who have expressed the interest. You know, I do recall one woman that was, you know, a little bit, you know, off kilter, I'll say. And everybody was like, you know, I went and spent 3 hours with this woman in Roseland. And people said, why would you waste a half a day with this woman? And I said, I didn't waste anything because I realized why she was a little off kilter. Because of the guys that we work with, the cohort that we work with, it's one of the most difficult cohorts to case manage, if you will. They're group members. You know, we work specifically with guys who are pulling triggers and guys who've been shot and that are in the mix right now. Mm-hmm. That's not a group that has a lot of trust for government agencies or systems that we have. So when their children are killed, even if they're, you know, mutual combatants, whatever the case may be, there's a family that's behind that. And the family doesn't even want to deal with our authority system or our you know, our government. They don't want to deal with anybody. So who do they go and identify? So this woman, I found out the reason she was a little off her kilter here, off kilter, was she had gone with over 220 black children who were killed and black men who were killed by gun violence. Some combatants, some involved, some not. But she had taken upon herself to go with the families to identify the body for their comfort.
Wow. Chris, with that said, let's take a pause and we'll join you in just a few minutes again.
All right. Thank you.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
Catholic Charities dedicates the Father Augustus Tolton Peace Center in the Austin neighborhood. We introduce you to the 19 permanent deacons recently ordained by Cardinal Supich. Muslims and Catholics break bread for the annual iftar dinner during Ramadan, and Resurrection Parish holds a Corpus Christi procession to pray for peace after recent violence in their neighborhood.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
Do you have questions about the meaning of life, love, and sexuality? And how about inner peace, true happiness, and romantic relationships? What is the role of the church in all of this? And how does one come to an understanding of the deepest mysteries of the human heart? Come join us in the retreat called Echo Chicago this June, where we will address all of these great things and more. Hey everyone, my name is Ray Pingoy from the Respect Life Ministries of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and I want to invite you to Echo Chicago. This June, the Archdiocese of Chicago will host a Theology of the Body summer camp for teens and young adults. We have partnered with Dumb Ox Ministries to present a week of prayer, fun, and immersion in the teachings of St. Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body. This exciting camp will take place at St. Xavier University in Chicago, June 22nd to the 28th. Registration is still open. For more information, go to respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355.
You don't know me. I was a nobody struggling on the Chicago streets, stopping in occasionally to get a meal at Catholic Charities. Now I'm an addiction counselor at Catholic Charities. They changed my life. I know the power of having someone believe in you. I'm grateful to be a part of Chicago's Good Samaritan offering hope for over 100 years. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Okay, this is Deacon John. We're back with Mr. Christopher Millett, who was telling us about a young lady you said was off kilter a little bit, and you said that she had witnessed or at least been involved with the 200 or so murders of young men and older men.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that makes total sense, but one would ask, well, you got to be a little bit off kilter yourself. And I mean that in a good way.
I hope my mom's not listening.
Well, and if she
is. She said the same thing.
Oh, my God, I need to talk to your mom then. And this okay, so this explains why you're a White Sox fan. But that's okay. That's okay. But what I mean, Chris, really, I mean, you're a special guy. And I've learned that in a very short span of time. And when I say special, something led you to do this. This is not something that any and everybody would want to do or even look forward to. But you seem to have a passion for what you do. So where did this come from?
Oh, boy. I'd say, John, it's Christ. Mm. You know, just flat out. It's my love for Christ. You know, it's my daily prayer with my wife and our kids that we pray each day that we would be the light, that God would give us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to be the light of Christ and the salt of the earth. I'd say our city's hurting. There's people in our communities that are hurting. And I believe that Christ did not go to the cross for your program or my initiative or this strategy or this election cycle. Christ went to the cross for people. And if he went to the cross for people, then this whole thing is about relationships. I love the technology. Amen. I'm not as adept as I need to be. My 9-year-old and my 12-year-old handle my devices for me and set them up. And, you know, I'll just be honest. You know,
yeah.
I don't really care. Like, that's not my interest.
Right.
I'm getting better. Trust me. Those of you who are lacking a return email, I'm getting there. You know, but I'm moving. I'm with Deacon John right now. Right? I'm with Deacon John. But I will tell you, notwithstanding the wonders of technology, it still comes down to relationships. It still comes down to people. You know, and I think that my desire is to love the people the way Christ loved the people. And if you're going to do that at times, not everybody's calling, but at times you got to get dirty. You know, you got to get down there with the woman at the well, the prostitute, whatever you want to call her, the adulteress.
Yes.
You got to get down there, you know, to rub mud on someone's eye means Christ got his hands dirty, you know, so that man could see. So, you know, like I said, you got to roll your sleeves up. You got to get in it. I love being in it. I love the chaos of it sometimes. I love the passion of it. It is very traumatic. I don't know how long you're supposed to do something like this with regards to your own health. But I will tell you this. I will tell you that I can't sit on the sidelines. I can't sit in the bleachers. You know, I got to be on the field as long as I could be on the field. I know my time on the Vanguard is coming to a close at some point, and I'll move to the Pentagon, you know, wherever they need me, you know. But seriously, I think it really is. For me, it all comes down to the people, you know, the models that I've had, especially in the Catholic Church and in the Archdiocese of Chicago with Father Flager and Deacon Richardson at St. Sabina. Ricky Harris, who's a principal at a school right now, and, you know, just the folks that we kind of came up and kind of came through a very special era, I think, in Chicago, in particular in Black Catholic Chicago. Those experiences helped mold and shape me. Those individuals, you know, their DNA is I tell people their DNA is, you know, I am a legitimate child of Dr. Arthur Millette, who passed away 10 years ago, and Doris Millette.
Okay.
But, you know, those people are spiritual fathers. I do believe in that, spiritual fathers and brothers and mentors kinship, you know, and you know, that type of thing.
So tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, where did you go to school at? Are you originally from Chicago?
Originally, I'm not. You know, I had some guys say to me, and I'll clean my language up here for the radio show on the street. You know, they pulled me aside, three old timers who were pretty significantly plugged at one point, and they pulled me aside and they just said, you know, for a guy from North Jersey, you got a lot of street credibility in Chicago. But I learned from different coaches. I learned from different folks in Chicago. I learned coming out the gate to listen, you know, not to hear what you're saying. Don't hear what Deacon John is saying. Listen to what he's saying. And listen to what he's saying, what he's not saying, but he's really saying with what he's saying, because sometimes we guard our words because we've learned to wear certain masks. And we've learned, especially as Black Americans, we've learned how to navigate American society in a way that's particular only to us. No matter how much money you make, no matter how much, you still have to navigate a certain way. And it's different, you know, it's different. So my thing is just kind of figuring it out. So my background, I grew up in North Jersey, so I'm a Jersey boy, not a Jersey, J-O-I-S-E-Y originally. And people say, and I love it, I embrace it. And the reason I embrace it, because there's so much similarity to Chicago and where I grew up in North Jersey. I think that's one of the reasons God led me out here, and I just kind of fit in, you know. And one of the things about Jersey boys is three things. Number one, we do, and I'm sorry, Mom, I'm sorry, Kendall, my wife, my kids, we do use the F-bomb. You know, I'm trying, but we're raised using it. It's like 18 different meanings for the F-word. And then you go to church, you try to clean it up. Number two, I will tell you, is we're always ready to fight. You know, so we could be laughing, joking. Somebody comes down the hall here. If it's time to go, it's time to go. And we just jump right in it. And number three, we always got a guy.
All right.
You know, I got a guy. You need a haircut, I got a guy. You know, you need to get your car washed, don't go to, I got a guy. You know, so we always got a guy. And that serves me well in what I do now because I'm finding, you know, who are the guys and gals out here to get things done.
Chris, I love it. And we're going to break again, and we'll join you in just another minute.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll hear from people and ministries that benefit from the annual Catholic Appeal. We'll take you to the inaugural Mass for St. Joseph Chapel at the Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine. We'll show you highlights from the ordination ceremonies of both our deacons and our new priests. And we'll get an inside look at how pastors are selected for parishes across the Archdiocese.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
I'm Rochelle, Activities Aide at Catholic Charities St. Albie Adult Day Center. I'm often told we light up seniors' lives each day they come to us, but they do the same for us. One shy man even opened up after coming to our adult day center and started a writing group. Being Chicago's Good Samaritan means helping someone be somebody and giving hope and meaning to life at any age. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Imagine spending a week in a beautiful lakeside setting where you can pray, reflect, and learn more about the treasures of the Bible. This wonderful opportunity can be yours at the annual Summer Scripture Conference at the University of St. Mary of the Lake Mundelein Seminary. Notable Christian scholars from across the United States will present this year's program, Making All Things New, the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The four major speakers will discuss how the Holy Spirit was portrayed and understood in different biblical times and communities. The Summer Scripture Seminar will be held Sunday through Friday, June 24th through the 29th. Stay for the week or sign up for sets of three lectures. For details, call 847-837-4558 or go to summerscripture.org. The Summer Scripture Seminar offers you spiritual renewal and inspiration with people who share your passion for the Word of the Lord.
Okay, this is Deacon John. We're back with Chris Millett. He's the executive director of the Chicago Violence Reduction Strategy. Excuse me. Chris, you know, this show isn't long enough to talk to you about all the things that you've done and accomplished. And one of the things that I've noticed on your bio is that you're married.
Yes.
And you have four children.
Yes.
And what I love about what I see here, Chris, is that you've named them all biblical names.
Yes.
And boy, you know, you're not joking. You are who you say you are. So you have a child named Luke.
Luke Elijah.
You have a child named Zion.
Zion Emmanuel.
And a child named Judah.
Judah Ephraim.
And a child named Levi.
Levi Ezekiel. Connected to the strength of God.
My God. You know, when you look at these names of your children, and then you hear the names of children today,
yes,
they have no meaning at all. They have no connection at all. And I like to think that that's one of the reasons why our world is the way it is. We're lost.
Yes.
We're lost. And you have blessed your children by these names.
Thank you.
You realize that. Thank me, no, thank God, because he is definitely evident in your life. You're showing it in, to me, every aspect of your life. And it's just a wonderful thing. It's very refreshing. And to me, this is old school.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to thank my wife, too.
Okay.
Because, you know, Chris Jr. was first.
And your wife's name is Kendall.
Kendall.
Is she listening?
She's at a breakfast, actually, down the road at Francis Xavier Ward School.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, well, she'll listen to the taping. So, hello, Kendall. When you hear this taping, we're talking about you.
Yeah, but you know, so the naming of children. So what we've done is we've tried to be led by Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, listen, I give credit where credit is due. And our time, when we stepped into Chicago in the early 90s, coming right out of Princeton University, I was doing a fellowship with Arnie Duncan and the Ariel Foundation, doing street outreach and educational outreach in the Hyde Park, Kenwood, Bronzeville area. And that was the early 90s. So it was hot, you know, and it was a very quick christening for me coming into Chicago, having answering questions of, is this what you want to do? Because this is what you want to do, this is what this actually is.
Okay.
But
so you didn't see yourself doing this. That was going to be like one of my questions.
Well, I will tell you, my freshman year in law school, in undergrad, I went to Princeton University. I was a public school kid coming out of Jersey. And we've been in Chicago since, you know, 93 when we got out of school.
Mm-hmm.
Got engaged, been married 22 years.
Congrats.
Amen. Well, congrats to Kendall.
Yes.
She's making it. I'm not going to say she made it. I'm still here.
Okay.
But she's making it. I fooled her, John, long enough. You know, I outkicked my coverage. I fooled her long enough. Now I'm plugged in with gang members and police officers and special agents all over the world.
To keep her off of you.
Well, so she can't go anywhere. You know, when she decides that this is enough, this fool now. But I love her dearly, as you could tell. I mean, she is my best friend.
Yes.
But one of the things that we came into consciousness of is you can't do this thing called life without God.
Okay.
You're kidding yourself if you think you can. And we were blessed enough at St. Sabina to be in a wonderful pre-marriage ministry, to really focus on what marriage is designed to be, what it's about, what raising a family is about, what life is supposed to be about, our relationship with God, God's involvement. We look at a lot of our friends who got married when we got married and right around the time we got married, and there's not many of us that are still married.
Right.
You know, 20-something years later. And I think, you know, life happens, right? There's no judgment on anybody. But one of the things that we were very conscious about was making sure that we entered a covenant with God when we got married. It wasn't about her and I, because a contract can be broken by either party.
Yes.
A covenant cannot be broken. Mm. So we decided we were going to enter a covenant with God. So if she got fed up with me, and you know, she'd have to go to God before she, because you know, he's a part of this thing too.
But that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it was intended to be, and you're living that out. You know, you're not just talking the talk, you're walking the walk. And that's what's so beautiful again and refreshing. Now, I know we're running out of time real quick. Tell us what your vision and hopes are for the future, Chris.
Well, you know, I would say, number one, that God's will be done, whatever it might be. You know, I've learned, you know, kind of like Paul, not to look for comfort and not to look for what's easy, but to look for things that are worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my vision and my hope is that God would just lead me in a path that would take me to things that are worth it, you know, that have an eternal profit and reward for the work that you do and the impact.
Amen. We're going to say a quick prayer, and Lord, we're going to ask that you bless Chris, bless his family, bless his children. Lord God, bless his travels that he'll be making later on this morning, early morning, tomorrow, actually. And bless his work, Lord, and all the people that he touched. And we thank you for bringing him in this morning and allowing him to shine your word on all of us, Father. And we ask all these things through Jesus, your son. Let the church say, amen.
Amen.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.